Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Well, folks, here we are. The final week of October, which means it's the week of All Hallows Eve. But let's save all those festivities for Thursday's effort. Because tonight I have a collection of calls that's creepy in its own right, without the aid of an ancient holiday. A show centering around one place in particular. The 21st most populous state. The 38th state admitted to the Union. August 1st, 1876, by the way. And a state named after the color red in the Spanish language. The Rocky Mountain State, Colorado. And we begin this evening with an eerie little entry from Lana. Welcome to the show, Lana.
Hi, my name is Lana. I currently live in Utah, was born in Colorado, and have lived all over the place. So this was when I was about 6 years old. I was living in Colorado at the time, and the apartments we were living in were not very nice. We lived in a rough part of town, lots of break-ins, rats running around the apartments, etc. I'm just giving context so you understand. And I was home. I got done with preschool and my mom picked me up and I came home. And we were doing laundry and whatnot and I was helping her fold everything. And I was standing in the hallway and I was facing both of the rooms. So when you stood in the hallway, you could see my mom's room, and then to the right of it was my sister's room, but all of us slept all over the place, so it was just the other bedroom. And I remember this, I was folding a quilt in the hallway, and I wasn't big enough, so I had to like lay it on the floor, fold it hamburger style, hot dog style, and like repeating that until it got smaller. And I looked up, and in the room, not my mom's room, the other room, I saw this black figure, like the shadow figure, and it was holding a scythe, and it was motioning for me to come towards it with its right hand. It was holding the scythe in its left hand. And since people always broke into our apartment, I thought it was a person. So I went running to my mom and I told her, like, oh my God, mom, there's someone in the apartment. Come look with me. We go back into the room. And there's no one there, nothing there. And she's like, okay, you probably didn't see anything. And I'm like, no, I know what I saw. And at that time, I was so young, and I did just think it was a person, even though it didn't look like a person. And years later, I was probably in like second or third grade. I was watching this show. It's called The Grim Adventures of Mandy and I don't know the other kid's name, Mandy and someone. And I see what I saw that day. I'm like, mom, that's what I saw that day in Colorado when I was telling you someone was in the house. And she was like, there's no way that you saw that. And I was like, why? She's like, that's the Grim Reaper. And I get goosebumps just talking about it. To this day, some people believe me, some people don't believe me. That's my story. I really love the show and I hope you can use the story. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you, Lana. As if seeing something like this isn't bad enough. A Grim Reaper type, complete with a scythe. But what might make it worse is the fact that whatever it It seemed to be beckoning Lana, motioning for her to come close to it. Now, I don't know a lot about this subject, Lana, but I do know he's not supposed to touch you. Or else, you get the axe. Or in this case, maybe the scythe. So it's probably a good thing that you ran the other way. Super spooky stuff, Lana. Thank you again for calling in. Now, with tall, mysterious figures in mind, let's bring in a short call before our first break. Please welcome Fisher to the program.
Hey, Derek, this is Fisher. I'm calling in with a story that happened maybe less than 20 minutes ago. So, a little background knowledge. I have just recently moved to a different place in Colorado, farther up into the mountains. But my friend Jackson and I were just goofing off. We decided to go for a late night stroll in the woods. We had just finished watching a good movie. And we just went on our usual walking route at my house out in the country, just a little bit into the forest. And we were using my iPhone camera. It's raining right now, and it was raining then. But we walked out into the woods, and then Jackson turns the iPhone flashlight to this tree, and something ducks behind it. Looked like a tall, pale figure. But the weird thing is, I saw it and he saw it, and I was like, hey, maybe we should go back in. And he agreed. And I went back in and said, hey, I saw something weird out there. Did you see anything? And he was like, yeah, I saw something. I was like, what did it look like? He said, I saw a tall, pale figure duck behind a tree. And I said, that's exactly what I saw. There was no corroboration of any stories. There wasn't even a lot of talking before we got back in. We just stayed calm and walked back into the house. But as always, I love the show. Thanks for doing what you do. Have a good one, Derek. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in, Fisher. A tall figure in the woods of Colorado. Now, my first thought here is obvious. Bigfoot. After all, the state does rank 9th in the country for reported Bigfoot sightings, with 131 reports as of March of this year. But none of those reports mention the creature being pale white in color. At least not that I saw. But the state is home to all sorts of cryptids, so perhaps it was something else that Fisher ran into. And with critters like the Slide Rock Bolter, the Tommyknockers, the Colorado Devil Ram, which is a goatman type, I guess, and the Augurino, a corkscrew worm-like creature that's said to live underground. So a graboid, I guess. So anyway, with critters like that, I guess anything is possible in Colorado. Now, we did post up links in the show notes if you want to explore those monsters a little further. And thank you again, Fisher, for taking the time to make the call. Now, folks, I have all kinds of stories left to share with you, so don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
That story that's difficult. Oh, boy. And Jeff can really relate to being that...
9737.
I hope you've enjoyed the miles.
Now, if there is one thing Colorado is full of, it's ghosts. And here with a ghost story of her own is Alice.
Hey, Derek. This is Alice from Colorado. I'm 70 years old, so I'm just reminiscing about what happened to me when I was younger, living in Spokane, Washington. When I was 16 years old, a couple of my mom's friends came, and they were younger, well, certainly like in their 30s, but they decided that it would be really fun to have a seance. Well, it was during the daytime, so we didn't light candles or anything like that, but we all went in. We called it the library. Dad made the garage into a room where they put bookshelves and had books, and then he added a new garage on the end of that. Anyway, so we were in there sitting at this really heavy round table. My grandmother worked for a hotel chain that when they would buy new furniture, they would allow some of the employees to buy the old furniture. So she knew that they had built a new room on to the house. So as a present, she gave them a heavy round table from the hotel. So we were sitting at the table and holding hands, of course, and the table started floating in the air. So I know it's called table tipping, but there was just four of us, mom, me, and our two friends, and this table, man, it must have been at least 100 pounds. So there was no way to lift it up as high as it was by anyone's feet, and our hands were on the top of the table. So that was kind of freaky. But for me, probably the freakiest part, after that, they decided to kind of take a break, and they were just sitting at the table talking, and I got up to go get something from the fridge. And when you come out of that room, you pass the stairwell that would go to the upstairs. And as I passed the stairwell, something must have caught in the corner of my eye, and I looked over, and there were ghosts floating up and down the stairs. They were kind of like cigarette smoke, swirly and all that, but more substantial. And they were definitely in the form of humans, but they weren't walking up and down the stairs. They were floating, and there were some going up the stairs and some coming down. I don't know why, but I just walked on past. And then it kind of hit me like, what did I just see? But it didn't disturb me or upset me or make me scared or anything like that. I just thought, wow, that's kind of strange. So then I went back and sat down, and it's been so long, I don't even remember whether I told them what I saw or whether I thought they probably wouldn't believe me, so I didn't tell them. Anyway, that's the end of that story. Thanks, Derek, for all you and your team do. You do such a great job. Bye.
Thank you, Alice. Tonight would be a perfect night for a little seance. Grab a few friends, pull up a table, light some candles, and bring forth a demon from the seventh level of hell. You know, I do love stories like this, Alice. It's hard to believe in things like seances and Ouija boards, but when a story like this comes through, well, it makes it a little easier to suspend my disbelief. So thank you again for taking the time to call in. And folks, if you would like to call in yourself, it's easy, it's fast, and it's free. And where else do you get those three anymore? Give my hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And the number to Monsters Among Us Jr., should you or your youngster need it, is 833-MAU-KIDS. And a huge thanks to everyone that went over to check out the episode last week, right after our Monsters Among Us Jr. feed drop. We saw a significant boost in listenership, and we have you all to thank for it. But if you haven't, go check it out. The episodes are short and packed with pint-sized paranormal stories. Monsters Among Us Jr., wherever you get your podcasts. Now, speaking of podcasts, I have one I need to finish here. So let's get back into the action with the following anonymous caller, out of nowhere else but the state of Colorado.
Hello there, this is Anonymous from Colorado. So I grew up in far northeast Denver, and the area that I grew up in was right down the street from the Rocky Mountain Arsenal. This is significant because of where the house is situated. So this happened around the early 90s when I was in middle school. And my brother and I had just moved in with my father and my stepmother after our mother passed. So we were assigned chores in the house, and the whole family are Trekkies. So we had the big living room downstairs in the basement. So everyone's down there watching TV. And the way that my kitchen is situated, I was only one door to go through the kitchen to go downstairs. So I would see or hear if anyone had come up the stairs. I would see them first because of how the kitchen was. It's like a cement little kitchen with an opening to the patio and the outside and the downstairs where there's just two separate doors. So I would be able to see anyone coming in or out of the basement or from outside. So it's my turn to do the kitchen. It's probably about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, so it's dark. And I'm assigned chore duty before, it's like Thursday. I had to do my chores before class the next morning. So I'm up in the kitchen doing the dishes after dinner, and it's just me, right? It's just me. I can hear the TV. I can hear everybody downstairs. So I'm just washing dishes and everything. And I see my sister come upstairs. She came upstairs to get some drinks and stuff for everybody, and she goes back down. I hear her go down the stairs. I hear her give out the drink. I hear my father talking. So I'm sitting up there just washing the dishes, and then I turn the water off. And as soon as I do that to go put the dishes in the strainer, there's a tap on my shoulder. And it was a very distinct tap. So I end up turning around and looking, and there's a dark hallway and a dark living room right behind me. There's nobody there. I turn on all the lights and think, and my sister's like playing with me, and nothing. There's nobody there, right? I go downstairs, basically go count heads, and everybody's downstairs. There's nobody upstairs. So at this point, my heart sinks. I'm like, oh my goodness, like there's something here, like something's happening. So I go back upstairs and my sister follows me and she's like, girl, you are like white as a ghost. What's going on? So I tell her, and I said, can you sit with me? And she's like, yeah, let me go downstairs and get my stuff. And before I could tell her no, she's already gone. So as I'm sitting there, I got my back to the sink and I'm facing the hallway. And it happens again. My back is up against the sink. There's nothing behind but a window and a wall. And it happens tap, tap on the same shoulder. I got goosebumps right now. That has never left for me. It's always stayed with me. And that's like the freaky thing that happened when I was like 12. Love the show. Thank you, Derek, for listening.
Thank you, caller. This might be TMI, but I have these weird back spasms. Out of nowhere. They're not painful in any way, but they make it feel like someone is poking me in the back with their finger. It happens a few times a month as I'm sitting here in the studio, right behind my left shoulder. At least I think they're back spasms. Now, after hearing our caller's claims, I can't be 100% sure. But it sounds like our caller was 100% sure that she was touched by something from the other side. What that something is, well, that's between you and your imagination. Thank you again, caller, for taking the time. And while we're on the subject of touchy ghosts, please welcome Carlos to tonight's program.
Hi, Derek. My name is Carlos, and I live in Denver, Colorado. So this story happened last year when my wife and I drove up to the mountains looking for cemeteries. She likes to take pictures of headstones and things like that. So we had pulled off to one that we found. It was kind of secluded up this trail, and she got out and she was taking pictures. And I got out, and I just remember standing by the car. I didn't really follow her into the cemetery, but I started to feel like I was being watched, or we were being watched. So like I said, it was pretty secluded back in this trail area where there was a bunch of trees around. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the sun was out. Maybe it was a little overcast, but yeah, for the most part, I could see clearly around me. I was looking to see if anyone was around, and I didn't see anything in the trees or anything. But anyway, so I kept feeling that feeling, and then Once my wife was done, we ended up just driving out of there, and all of a sudden, she felt like warmth on her right leg. We both looked at her leg, and we were like, what is that? And it looked like a little handprint, like of a child or something. And I kind of gathered that maybe that's what I was feeling, was maybe a child's ghost or any type of ghost was watching us while we were sitting there. But yeah, that's my story. I love the show, and shout out to Mo for starting me on Monsters Among Us. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Carlos. And a big thanks to Mo as well. Sharing the show with friends, family, and strangers is a gigantic help. It allows us to grow and allows us to bring in new calls on a weekly basis. So a huge thank you to Mo, in fact. Now, touched in a cemetery by a ghost child, perhaps. Well, like I said, 'tis the season. Thanks again, Carlos, for making the call.
We're out of in time today.
Good morning, Mike. Yeah, so far this year,
their eternity is being changed.
I am with you. Always.
Well, let's stay in the cemetery for a few more moments. If you're brave enough, that is. Please welcome Katie to the program.
Hello, first time caller here, and I am Katie, and I am from Parker, Colorado. This was during lockdown of 2020. Me and my best friend found it a perfect time to explore the town in the middle of the night because there was nobody around. This particular night, we decided to hop the fence at the local main town cemetery. Over the last however many years, I've come here numerous times and actually enjoy exploring cemeteries at night for the thrill of being a little creeped out. On my previous trips there over the years, I have always felt that I didn't like a patch of trees in the middle of the cemetery. It just didn't feel right. There's nothing I could explain about it. I never wanted to go over there. But I did notice that there was some new art and statues in the middle of the cemetery, and of course, it had to be next to the trees. I ignored my gut feeling about something not being right over there and checked it out. So, a couple minutes went by, and we didn't really talk much, just kind of looked around at the statues and all the art. And then we actually heard clapping, and it was really weird. There was no tempo to it. Nothing. It was just some weird clapping, and actually it sounded like children's hands. I don't know, just sounded like little hands. But after that, we kind of just looked at each other and walked up the hill back towards the fence. So after that, you know, jumped the fence, got underneath a light near a telephone light to kind of, you know, who knows if it was a person or not. I would rather have a ghost than a real person, because creepy people in the middle of the night at a cemetery, you don't really want to run into those. Then we are looking into the cemetery to make sure that there is nobody there. And there wasn't. So a few minutes go by, and my friend looks at me and says, we need to leave. We need to leave. I'm like, why? And I look over, and I see a ball, like a rainbow ball. And it was green, it was red, it was purple, it was all the colors I could think of. It was coming up from the trees right at us, and we didn't think twice about running away, and we did run away quick. We hopped some more of the fences and then jumped down off a ledge into a parking lot. We didn't get very far before we turned back around and saw the ball of light was against the fence right where we were. You know, we didn't think much about it, but other than we just had clapping in the middle of the cemetery, couldn't find anybody behind us, and just a weird big ball of light. Don't know what it is. Not exactly sure if I want to come back and find out, but we have not been back since.
Thank you, Katie. More ghost children in a cemetery, perhaps. And clapping. What a weird detail. You know, if it wasn't something explainable or something ghostly, I wonder if it wasn't something in the vein of UFOs or UAPs. A glowing ball of rainbow light levitating above the trees. Well, that sounds about right to me. And the sounds that Katie heard, she described them as children clapping. Well, perhaps those were sounds emanating from the craft as it lifted off the ground. And if it was a UFO, Katie wouldn't be alone in her experience. Because according to the National UFO Reporting Center, Colorado ranks number 13th in the U.S. for UFO sightings. 3,503 reported sightings, with the most recent being made on October 16, 2025, when multiple orb clusters reappear then disappear near Estes Park. And if you're curious how each of the cities in the state rank in regards to UFO experiences, here's how that plays out. Again, courtesy of Newfork. Number 10 is Pueblo. Number 9 is Lakewood. Number 8 is Longmont. Number 6 is Grand Junction, tied with Littleton. Number 5 is Boulder. Number 4 is Aurora. Number 3 is Fort Collins. Number 2 is Colorado Springs. And of course, number 1 is Denver. And here, with what might be one more sighting of something strange in the Centennial State, is Sarah from the city of Denver.
Hi, Derek. This is Sarah calling from Denver, Colorado. My story for you just happened tonight. My husband and I were sitting out on our back deck, and we happened to look up at the sky, and we saw 6 or 7, like, stars. Probably satellites, but I've just never seen anything like it. They were perfectly spaced in a perfectly straight line, and they were moving at the same time motion. It was so odd. And then they just disappeared. And it was just so fresh that I thought I'd call right away. I'm a long-time listener. I love your podcast. This happened at 8:12 p.m. on September 22nd. I've never seen anything like it. I just thought I'd call in and let you know. Thanks. Keep it spooky.
Thank you, Sarah. Well, I get this report a lot. Dozens of calls just like Sarah's. And I never play them. Why, you might be wondering. Well, it's because I know exactly what they are. It's Starlink satellites, the internet provider. For years now, they've been launching these sometimes car-sized satellites into space, dozens of them, all tethered together in a line. And from here on Earth, if you happen to catch one going by at the right moment, the chain looks like a line of stars, all moving at the same speed and heading in the same direction. I've put up a few examples in the show notes, if this is all news to you. And believe it or not, you can even see these things yourself, no matter where you live. I also included a link to a Starlink tracker website, and it'll tell you exactly when you need to look up to see this technology yourself. So I get why you might be amazed by this experience, Sarah. I saw them one night myself last year. I just randomly looked up and got lucky. And even though I knew exactly what they were, I was still in awe of how they moved. So even though this call was a bit of a bust, it was a good lesson. So thank you again, Sarah, for sharing the experience. Now, shifting gears to a different type of unidentified flying object, please welcome Aaliyah back to the program.
Hi, my name is Aaliyah Surratt from Longmont, Colorado, and this story is about the first time I saw my guardian angel. I was on my way to work one morning with my husband. We were driving down 287, It was a nice sunny morning, and these dark black and purple clouds rolled in, and this overwhelming fear of anxiety came over me. And I looked up in the sky, and you could see what looked like an angel with his head on his hands, just looking at me like in a loving, caring way. But it scared me to death. I didn't know if I should turn around and go home or if I should continue going to work. I'm pretty sure that we ended up going to work. My ex-husband didn't see anything. I was shocked that the rest of the world couldn't see anything, that no cars were stopping on the road. I mean, it was so apparent to me. I just couldn't see how nobody else could see what I was seeing. But that's my story, the first time I saw my guardian angel. It was really cool. Thank you, man. I love the podcast. Have a good day.
Thanks, Aaliyah. I certainly don't blame you for being frightened. Seeing some dude float down from the sky should alarm anyone that witnesses it. But like you, I too am curious why no one else seemed to see him. Details like that tend to suggest some sort of hallucination. But only Aaliyah would know if that's something that's possible. But you know, none of that stops the story from being downright awesome. So thank you again, Aaliyah, for ringing in.
And these things are all taking part and going in different directions.
Wait for everyone else to kick off the holiday.
It's kind of like a perfect storm in a sewer.
You're number one.
Now, as I alluded to earlier, Colorado is full of ghosts. And here to help me sell that as a fact is Ina. Welcome to the program.
Hi, my name is Ina. I live in a suburb of Denver, Colorado, and we moved into our house in 2004. And when I say we, I meant my husband and my five kids. And I wasn't necessarily a strong believer in ghosts. However, that house has totally made me a believer. We have since moved out in 2017. So the story I'm going to tell you today is I had seen apparitions in that house before, full-on apparitions. I knew one was my brother. We lost him at 16. And I had seen another apparition. I didn't know who he was, but he would walk downstairs from left to right underneath the stairs, and you could see him, and he would pause before going into the room. I never did anything as far as staging or anything because they didn't scare me, except it started to get bad after my son passed away, and there was just so much negative energy. I went through a divorce, so my kids were all incredibly depressed. So my middle child, who is now 25, when she was about 16 or 17, I noticed that she started sleeping on the couch outside in the downstairs family room. Previously, in any house we lived in, she was always kind of my little hermit girl and loved to stay in her room and do kid stuff. But she had been sleeping on the couch for a couple months, and so I'd ask her when I was driving her to her band practice, and I said, "Why have you started sleeping on the couch?" And she says, "Mom, there's a guy who stands in my doorway and watches me sleep. He's very scary." And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "We can sage down there." And she says, "No, I'm just going to sleep out on the couch if that's okay." And of course it was okay. So 2 years later, she had moved out, got her own place. And my other baby, she slept in that room for about a week and a half. And then I noticed she started coming upstairs and sleeping on the couch or coming in to sleep with me. So I asked her, I said, "Well, honey, what's going on?" And she said, "Mom, there's a guy who comes into my bedroom and he will sit right inside the door and he watches me sleep." And they had never shared the story because I had asked my oldest daughter not to because I didn't want to scare the kid. But I don't know what that entity was, I'm sure it wasn't an actual human because our house was very safe, and I just don't know what it was. Anyway, that's just one of the many stories I have from there that to me was very scary.
Thanks, Ina. That's that eerie kind of validation. Having two people see the same thing at separate times without communicating about it. To me, that's pretty convincing. And let's hope that it doesn't happen a third time. But of course, if that activity does continue, be sure to let us know, Ina. But until then, thank you again for calling in. Hey, go buy a t-shirt or something, if you want. MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the shop tab. We'd appreciate it. Now, one non-paranormal thing that Colorado is known for is its lax laws on certain mind-altering substances. So right on schedule here is M from the state of Texas.
Hey, Derek, this is M from Texas. So it was like 2019. I was living in Colorado with my now wife. I worked at a medical cannabis growing facility. I had just started, and one of my coworkers turned to me and was like, oh, yeah, this building's haunted. Hope you don't mind ghosts. And my stomach sank because I was like, oh, no, not another one of these. I've always, like, felt watched. I literally can't remember a time when I didn't feel that way. But I was sitting at the table at the bottom of the stairs, and I saw a shadow, like, walking down the stairs at me out of the corner of my eye. And when I looked, it wasn't there again. But I'd always see, like, a small little human, like child-sized shadow, walk by, and I'd feel watched. It didn't feel malicious or anything. I had to look it up because I was told by my coworkers that a little boy had passed outside the building. Due to the sensitive nature of my job that I had there, we couldn't really give the address out or anything. But I looked it up, and there was a little boy who had passed in the 70s, right outside. Now, it's a really industrial area, and like it was very out of town at the time in the 70s. But there were these little boys outside playing, and they found a bomb, like a homemade bomb, in the dumpster. They were brothers, and one of them unfortunately passed away pretty much immediately after that bomb had gone off. But the brothers survived. I looked up the articles and I found old newspaper articles, but I always saw a little boy shaped shadow everywhere in this building. I just thought it was really interesting that I genuinely saw this numerous times before I had known about the story. Thanks for the podcast, Eric. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Thanks, Em. Now, we covered a haunted dispensary on Paranormal Caught on Camera, the TV show that I was on years and years ago. And I feel the same way now that I felt about that one, that I bet it has more to do with the property itself than it does the business that's conducted there. But before we move on from the topic, I have one more story to share. So please welcome Sean to the show.
Hey, Derek. This is Sean. I'm from Colorado. I was listening to one of your entries from season 3. It was an Australian gentleman by the name of Steve, and it kind of jarred something loose when he was talking about his time slip phenomenon. I don't think what happened to me was necessarily a time slip, but it really brought back a weird memory because back when I was in high school, I was about 15. And I had started the day like anything else. And I mean, back in the day, I was smoking marijuana like most teenagers, I guess. And I remember I woke up, I got out of bed, and I was getting ready for the day. I got dressed. I took a shower like I normally do. And back in those days, I would roll a joint and smoke in the shower and then get ready for school. So got out of the shower, got dressed. I walked to school. When I got to school, I mean, this is all so vague, like 20 years ago, but I remember joking around with my friends and getting ready to go to class. And we're all joking and high-fiving, doing all the weird things that we do as teenagers. And when the bell rang, I went to class. I sat down in my desk and I woke up in my bed. But here's the weird thing about the story. Whenever I woke up, I was sitting down and I was like, what the hell just happened? Because when I woke up and I got out of bed, the first time, I felt the covers on my skin. I felt myself put on the clothes. I could feel the temperature in the room. I could feel the water in the shower head, all the heat. I could feel the sensation of how I was getting high. And when walking to school, I could feel the sun, the wind, everything on my body. And when I was interacting with my friends, you know, and we're bumping into each other and getting rowdy and high-fiving and stuff like that, I could feel it. I could feel the sensation on my body. It was the weirdest thing. It shakes me up thinking about it, because I remember I was shaken up for like 3 months. I had no idea what happened. I hadn't thought about it for a long time. But if anybody else has had anything similar happen to them, I'll keep an ear out because I'm really interested. Anyways, Derek, great job on the podcast. It's really entertaining. Thanks again. Bye.
Thanks, Sean. So what do you think here, folks? Time travel? A glitch in the Matrix? Alien abduction? Or did Sean here partake a little too much? So thank you again to both M and Sean for calling in.
Is it enough to last a lifetime?
That's the sound of someone who's displaced.
Now, folks, we're nearing the end of tonight's programming, but things are still heating up. Here, with a story that'll have you locking your doors, is Becky from, I assume, Colorado.
Hi, my name is Becky, and this happened in Louisville, Colorado in 2017. It was around November, I would say, but I was in bed. I couldn't sleep, so I went downstairs, and the way our house was set up, you go downstairs and there was the main living room that faced the front yard, but then you go past the kitchen and dining room, and there was another set of stairs to go down to like a family room that faced the backyard. So there was a sliding glass door in that room, and there was a window, and I used to keep the curtains open because it was so safe there, and it was the backyard. Anyways, I was down there watching TV because it was more quiet than the first level TV, and I didn't want to wake anybody upstairs. So I was down there watching TV, sitting in the recliner. The window was open. I didn't have any lights on. I just had the TV on. And I was watching TV, and I could see something out of my peripheral vision. So I turned to look out the window. We had like this little path out our backyard that went to a little bench. And over by the bench, coming like facing towards me, was like a little toddler, like the size of a child, like a baby toddler. And they were walking slowly towards the window. And there was no one else around. I could see nobody else there. I looked, but it started to make me nervous because it looked like a toddler, and it was probably 2 a.m. And they kept walking kind of slowly towards the door. And I started getting nervous because I knew about black-eyed children. And I looked again, and sure enough, their eyes were black. So I stopped looking that way. I didn't want to make eye contact with them. And I didn't think the door was locked because that was like one of the safest cities in the world. I was sitting there just hoping, please don't let them be able to open the door. Please don't let them knock. Please don't let anything happen. So I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of bracing for whatever's going to happen. And they got to the door and there was like a step up, like there was a patio table and one little step to come up to the slider. Well, they were on that step, and they were just standing there, looking into the window, and I could see pretty good because we had a fireplace in the corner kind of next to the sliding glass door. I was looking towards that way so I could see out of my peripheral vision without making eye contact with them. And they just stood there looking in and kept looking in, and there was no one else with them. Nobody else came. There was no knock, no noise. Just, they stood there for a while. I just waited and waited. And after, I don't know, about 5 minutes, they turned around and walked away. And I looked really hard and I couldn't see anything. So I hurried and ran to that door and put the little thing in to make the slider lock and close the curtains because it freaked me out. But I thought that was pretty creepy because I had heard of black-eyed children but had never experienced it. I don't know what else it could have been. There was nobody else with them. They weren't crying. They weren't scared, obviously. They were walking very slowly, but they were the size of like maybe an 18-month-old. It was just so weird. We have a gate and it was closed, and I just don't understand how a toddler could get into our backyard. So I don't know. I hope you like my story. I love your show and have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Becky. Toddler, black-eyed kids. The fact that they were toddlers somehow makes this even more menacing. And it sounds like you were smart not to make eye contact with them. That's pretty good practice in general, if you ask me. Now, I can't recall ever hearing about BEKs of such a young age. If we've discussed it, it's escaped my memory. But maybe it has happened before. If you know something I don't, be sure to let us know. And I bet Becky would appreciate that info also. Well, these things are creepy as hell, and that's just how we like them. So thank you again, Becky, for making the phone call. And speaking of creepy as hell, one of the creepiest places on the planet rests within the confines of the state of Colorado. A hotel nestled in the Rockies, just outside of Estes Park. A hotel made famous by the King of Horror. By way of Ohio, please welcome Jeff to the program.
Hello, Mr. Hayes. My name is Jeff in Ohio. But this short story takes place in Colorado at the now infamous Stanley Hotel. I'm sure most people listening to this podcast have heard of it, as it was the inspiration for the Stephen King book, The Shining. Anywho, this story is actually my sister's. She was in Colorado visiting a friend, and since it's roundabout spooky time, they decided to take a ghost tour of the Stanley Hotel. Now, while they were on the tour, they didn't really experience anything. She didn't see anything or hear anything. One member of the tour said that they saw a shadow person out of the corner of their eye, but other than that, it was actually pretty uneventful. However, throughout the tour, she was taking kind of random pictures of hallways and rooms, things like that. And after she got back from the tour, she was going through them and she found something. She said she messed with the brightness and the contrast to see if it was maybe just like a weird angle or something like that. She's pretty convinced that what she's got is real. She sent them to me, and I remember you being pretty enthusiastic about photographic evidence. Now, admittedly, I'm kind of a skeptic when it comes to ghosties and goblins and such. Kind of a see-it-to-believe-it kind of thing. But this picture is kind of interesting. It appears to show a shadow person, a child-sized shadow person, kind of clearly standing in another room off of what looks like a foyer or an entranceway. But I wanted to see what you and your listeners thought about it. I'll attach it in an email. Anyway, thanks again. Love the show. Have a good one, man.
Thank you, Jeff. The Stanley Hotel. On my bucket list. And my brother and his wife and kids just went there this past summer. And the kids told me that they experienced all sorts of strange things, including what they called a little golem-looking guy in the basement. And speaking of little figures at the Stanley, Jeff was true to his word and did send in the photograph. You can find it over in the show notes. And it does appear to show a dark, human-shaped spot there on the glass door. It looks like it can only be seen from the knees up, cutting off the lower third of the body. Now you can go to monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the show notes tab to take a look. Or I'll try to get Sarah to post this up on our social media pages. It's worth a look, whatever it is. Especially given the location. Colorado's infamous Stanley Hotel. And folks, that's going to do it for this episode. Per usual, a big thanks for swinging by. The Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright, Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow on our social media pages. Join us over on YouTube and leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. Don't forget we have a Discord server. I believe the link to that is also on our website. Now don't forget you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UNX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. All right, gang, I'll be back here on Thursday with a special episode. You won't want to miss this one, so be sure to join us then. In the meanwhile, you keep it spooky, and of course, have yourselves a good night.